Tonight, this is going to end our worthy is the Lamb focus. Many of folks known in the end time or whatever you want to call it, but it is Revelation. Now, we're getting into the millennial period. I'm going to break this down in a moment for us so that we can, so that we pay attention to the focus. Here's something. You heard me preaching this morning about the power of the church. You also heard me preaching this morning about we, the body of Christ, the body of believers, the importance of the church itself and being active. Now, the millennial period is the period of the kingdom. We are the church age. Here's the difference. Now, you need to catch this. The Christian church is gone at this time. We've already been raptured. We're with the Lord. We're serving with Him. We're coming back, but we have our glorified body. But here's something I want you to think about. Here's where we have messed up as a church for so long a period of time. And that is, our focus is to evangelize. Our focus is not to bring peace to all the nations and to go out and to get that involved with world affairs like that. That's not the function of the church. Function of the church is to promote Jesus Christ, evangelize. Now, the kingdom age set apart, which is the millennial period, the kingdom age is set apart. This is for the Jewish. This is for the Jew. It was the promise God gave to the Jews of the inheritance of the land. Do you remember that? It was the promise that God had given to the Jews for that inheritance, for the wealth of the land, for the power. The Jewish nation would have that power and have the honor, and this is focused on the kingdom. This was promised to them. This is going to come about, but this is going to come about during the millennial period. So all the time you're thinking about this, you need to remember that the church needs to be about the business of the body of Christ, and the millennial period will be taken care of by God the Father. Jesus will be coming and sitting on the throne of David. Jesus is going to rule from the throne of David on this earth for 1,000 years. I don't care what man says, what government says, Jesus is going to reign on the throne of David here on this earth. David does not have a throne in heaven. What's the difference? The earth and all of this was promised to the Jewish nation, God's people. What's promised to us, the church? What do I have to look forward to? Not going to be honor down here on earth. If you're a Christian, you tell me how much of the world honors you. And pay attention very closely to it. There's no such thing as honor for the church in our generation or any church age generation whatsoever. I am promised, you are promised heaven. I'm not promised all this land and all of this stuff and all the stuff that comes with the millennial period, am I? Matter of fact, I don't need it. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. I got heaven. I got eternal life in heaven. Now, I know that as God fulfills the promises, again, I get excited because being of the church age, being a Christian, I know that I'm really blessed. Yes, we are blessed because we belong to Christ. But my inheritance is not of anything on this earth. Only thing I'm getting from this earth is pain. Whew. And anything from this physical body, pain, brother. Pain. Listen, in heaven I get an inheritance. I get the reward that's promised to you and to me as Christians. You got that? And the focus for me will be to evangelize. When I say that, Christians hear it well. I am to tell about Jesus. I am not given the authority to control that individual. I cannot come up, matter of fact, I'm smart enough not to do that, and take that Bible and say, Paula, you will accept Jesus Christ, and slap you upside the head with it. Now, that ain't going to work. We're not going to receive the blessing, nor am I going to receive the blessing. Am I, Miss Paula? No, that isn't going to work. But you and I are to tell the world about Jesus. I can't make somebody come to Jesus. If you go in and you try to trick someone into accepting Christ, what are you going to do when someone is trickier than you are comes along and tricks them to not accept Christ? You are to tell the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. You are to give them the gospel, the good news. You are to share that from your heart, from the Spirit that God has given you. That's your focus as a church. Then we come to the millennial period. This is the kingdom age. It belongs to the Jews. Will we be here? The scripture says yes. But we will be in our glorified bodies, reigning with Christ. It's the honor of the church, given to the church. Why? Jesus happens to be the Son of God. And we just happen to be His body on earth. And it just so happens that when God said, okay, for the Jewish nation, you will inherit all of this land, promised land, I'm going to give you this as an inheritance. Jesus says to you and me, okay, I'm going to give you a promise and a declaration. You're going to inherit heaven. And you're going to inherit blessings that the world has never seen before. You're inheriting eternal life. And not only that, you, Christian, can never die. You will live forever. You will be out of that body before the body hits the floor. Promised by God. The millennial reign of Christ. What is a millennial? The word millennium is made up of two Latin words, which is mille, which is a thousand, and annum, which is years. The thousand-year reign of Christ on earth after His second coming, not during the rapture, okay? Now, some will argue with that. I'm not going to argue with any of it. I'll go back to Dr. George Redding's statement and saying, Brother Vance, when I thought of my wife normally watches that for me. Yeah, Brother Vance, when you're asking me, do I believe in pre, post, or all millennialism? I believe in a pan-millennialist. And I hadn't been taught anything about a pan-millennialist. He said, I believe it'll all pan out in the end. So I've taken that to heart over the years as to what he said. It will all pan out in the end, meaning, what was he saying? Meaning, we can't get it down to the fine print for you. But we can tell you the initial promise. You and I are going to inherit heaven. Our retirement is out of this world in heaven, not here, in the millennial reign. That's not my retirement. That goes to the Jewish nation. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's strange how man continues to sin and Satan's not even around. Oh, well. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus, because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. That's your Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament folks. You got it? This is the first resurrection. Yippee. First resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Priest. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're just fine there, Gene. What will the millennial be like? It will be unique, page 2. Unique because of who is there. The millennium will be inhabited by two groups of believers. Group number 1, believers who have survived the tribulation. These individual believers will enter the kingdom in their natural physical bodies. They will live in houses, do work, marry, and have children. Remember, I'm talking about, God said he would always keep a remnant of the Jewish nation. See, Israel is God's. The Hebrew nation, the Jew, belongs to God. That's God's people, God's chosen. And he said throughout all of ages, he will keep a remnant. So here you see the remnant then, the Jewish nation. You say, well, the Jewish nation. Yes, folks, it's really strange to me how that we keep forgetting as Christians our Savior happens to be a Jew. And we need to understand that God gave promise of this kingdom to the Jewish nation. To the Gentile nation, those then, anybody that wasn't a Jew, anybody whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Jew and non-Jew. Okay? Now, you only have a few Jewish believers in Christ today. You know, in comparison, you only have a handful. Got it? Okay. Now, this is their time. Why did God do it this way? I don't have any idea. I haven't figured out why he even saved me. Because he loves me. I haven't figured that one out either. But God said this is the way it's going to be. So the way he said it's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen. They will live in houses, do work, marry, and have children. I'll read you the scripture on this in a moment. Isaiah 65:21-23, I'm going to read it right now. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them. That's going on all the time right now, isn't it? Or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. Why? God promised them this was going to come about, and then he was going to give them the land. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. This is the kingdom age. Because of their physical human condition, they will still possess the sinful nature, even though Satan is not present to tempt them, who either died or were raptured before the tribulation. We will already have our new glorified bodies. We will not have the sinful nature. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for how long? 1,000 years. Okay. Jesus is the first resurrection. To believe in Jesus is to be a part of the first resurrection. Acts 26:23. That the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Okay, who did Jesus go to? He went to the Jews. Who were his disciples? The Jews. Then, and who did they go to? To the Jews. Who rejected them? The Jews. But they were told a story of Jesus. Not all Jews rejected. Look at the Apostle Paul. He said that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he kept letting them know there wasn't any of them smarter than he was. And if they thought there were, he set them down real quick and taught them a lesson that they really weren't. Jesus is the first resurrection believer. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We are the first of the resurrection because Christ is the first of the resurrection. And again, let me, so you don't get confused on this, because people will do this, throw this at you. Well, there's a lot of more resurrections going on. Yes, but all those who were resurrected, that God resurrected, Jesus resurrected, that there were all that the disciple would bring back, they all died again. Jesus never died again. He conquered death. Jesus was born to die once. When he went to that cross, he took all the power away from death, all the power and sting away from the grave. And he did that for us. Therefore, you and I don't have to die. We will be separated from this body, but we'll never see death. As we're looking at it, we're sent from heaven a voice, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, now listen to this, comfort one another with these words. The Lord's going to descend from heaven, trumpet of God. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You know, we need a comforting word on this. That gets a little exciting, have you noticed? Gets a little bit exciting on it. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Before the age of the church, God regularly made his presence known through various signs. For example, no matter which way the wind was blowing or how strong it was, smoke from the temple altar always rose straight into heaven. And each year during the Yom Kippur ceremony, the scapegoat was tied to the temple door by a scarlet ribbon. When the high priest cut the ribbon and released the goat to be killed in the wilderness for the sins of the people, part of it remained on the door. As the goat died, the ribbon on the door turned from red to white, fulfilling Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Tying in, getting ready to go into who Jesus represents. But during the church age, there have been no ongoing public signs similar to these. In John 20, verse 24 through 29, we read about Thomas seeing the resurrected Lord and touching his wounds. Only then did he believe. Then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He was speaking of the church, saying we would receive a special blessings for believing solely by faith. John 17:20-26 contains Jesus' prayer for the church. Believers by faith. Now 17:20-26, you all need to always read that. John 17:20-26, as Jesus praying directly for you. Directly for you, for the church. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I guess what I try to get across And on the timelines, I want you all to remember something on this. We have no exact way of knowing these timelines. Even from the writers of the New Testament, when we're trying to come up with the time periods and all of this, every one of the theologians, all of the brains and all, when you start reading them, you will find that they seem to differ as what time period. And so what I have learned over the years is this. I don't place any conviction whatsoever into time periods. I place them in what does the Lord say, into the Word of God. Because time is irrelevant to God. But God goes by ages at the end of this age and the ages to come. And we try to key everything down to the millisecond. We try to get everything, well, now this is exactly when it's going to happen. Like the earth is going to be destroyed in 12 years because of you all. Okay, what will the millennial be like? Peace. Page 4. Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, wait a minute. You and I are born again. We're already in a glorified body. Again, let me remind you, we're not here physically. This is not us. We are there, but we're there in a sinless nature. Of the increase of his government, this is the millennial period, governments of earth, and peace there will be no end. He's fulfilling his promise to the Jewish nation. He will reign on David's throne. Told you all. Didn't I tell him, Brother Randy? Told him, didn't I? Yep. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Not armies, not force. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You think it's exciting? I get excited sometimes when I preach. Every once in a while, Brother Randy will get excited. And you know, that excitement is what heaven is made up of continually. I'm going to be continually excited. And I'm not going to get tired. Oh, I'll have a heart of a saint. Gene, always wanted one of those. All right, Isaiah 2, verse 4. He will judge between the nations. Now, listen, this is the Lord doing this. And he will settle disputes for many peoples. Well, I'm glad it'll take the Lord to do that, don't you think? Well, what do we focus on too much? We're going to go over here and make this nation think like us, act like us, and do what we say do, or do the way we do. It doesn't work. You can't do that. That's not what the church is for. The church is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and evangelize. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Anybody here know what a pruning hook is? Anybody farm? How many farmers left? Are they all dead? Pruning spear. They're going to beat their spears into pruning hook. I would have sold them one, Gene, or given it to them. I'm not going to be around. Nations will not take up sword against nation. You're not going to see that in our day and age. Nor will they train for war anymore. This is the kingdom age, Dolores. Pay attention. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf will live with the lamb. You know what wolves do to lambs today? Yeah. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, and the lion, and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow, they're still going to have cows, Larry. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. Now, I bet you they're happy on that one. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is not the fact of our generation, of the church age as all. This is the kingdom age. This is the millennial period. God's coming down. He said, I promised you, I'll fulfill my promise. Do we understand it? No. I don't understand my salvation, but I'm saved. Zechariah 9, verse 10. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim. Now, you have to know the history on that. And the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. Jesus. He's ruling. He's on David's throne. He said he was going to. He's going to do it. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's peace. Jesus said for the church age, they will cry, peace, peace, but peace will not come. They will cry, peace, peace, but peace will not come. How many times have you heard this for peace? How many times you all listen to a political year and everybody's doing the same thing? We're running on education. I don't know. You know, one of these days they might do something with it. Running on education and we're running on peace. We're going to make peace with everyone. No, you're not. Have you tried making peace in your own family? That's what it'll be like. Isaiah 4, 3 through 4. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. And all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem, the Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion, women of Zion, idolatry. That's not the physical women, the women of Zion, the idolatry and all. He will cleanse the blood stained from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Page 5. What will the millennium be like? Joy. Isaac Watts, Joy to the World. His song was written to celebrate the second coming of Christ to rule and to reign on earth. It was never written as a Christmas carol. Joy to the World represents the second coming of Christ. Wasn't a Christmas carol. But it sounds good as a Christmas carol. But that's not how he wrote it. And Merry Christmas, because that is celebration of the second coming. We can celebrate second coming right now because it's coming. Isaiah 9, 3 through 4. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. As men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, got to have the history on it, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is physical burden, the kingdom age. These folks are alive. They are in the flesh. Isaiah 12, 3 through 6. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You remember that the Lord said, of all that heaven and earth pass away, but my word will never pass away. God provides salvation to the point where God doesn't provide it. I don't know what that point is. I have no idea. But from all I can read, there will be no one that will stand before God with an excuse. They will say, well, Larry Vance didn't really come by and teach me. No, no, he taught all those heathens at Vine Grove Baptist Church, but he didn't come and talk to me. You know what the Lord said he would say? I will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I reveal myself to you. You stand without excuse, for I have revealed myself to you. That's the revelation of who Christ is. He does the revealing. I preach the gospel. You teach and preach the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals that gospel into the heart of man. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. You're seeing all of this, and then you think, how in the world would they turn against such great joy? I don't know. How did it work out in the Garden of Eden? Total perfection. The man chose to sin against God. Man chose to do his own thing, and he had it made. They will have deeper knowledge. Isaiah 11:9. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I read that a while ago. No, that was another. Jeremiah 31:33-34. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. Who's the house of Israel? The Jews. After that time, declares the Lord. After what time? After the second coming, during the kingdom age. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their heart. Okay, here's one for you. Christian, you got one up on them. He's already done that for the church. He sent His Holy Spirit to do that exact thing for the church, for each Christian. Do you not have the Word of Christ in your heart? Or is it not written within us? Okay. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. What was the term for the Christians that the ultimate of the law? The one word that takes in all the law. I will be their God, they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor. We still teach each other, don't we? Or a man his brother saying, know the Lord. Is that not what the church age does? Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Okay. During the kingdom reign, God is going to reveal Himself to all of them. All the people that are alive during this period, they will know Him. Declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Who was that promise already given to? The church. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, paid sick. What will the millennial be like? No sickness nor or deformity. Isaiah 29:18. In that day the deaf will hear. Well, we'll be at the Lord, so we'll be able already hear loud and clear. The words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Isaiah 33:24. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell will be forgiven. Isaiah 35:5-6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Kingdom age is going to be beautiful. Have you noticed? As a result of the elimination of sickness, people once again will live extended lifespans, just as the people did before the flood. Isaiah 65:19-20. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Go all the way back to Egyptian reign over their slavery of the Hebrew nation. Remember the slaughter of the 2 years old and under? Remember the yelling and the weeping? And God is saying, this is my promise I'm giving to you. And of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. That's a whole nother study. I'm not getting in that. Page 7. We'll have economic prosperity. Isaiah 30:23. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. Jeremiah 31:12. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Does that almost sound like the Garden of Eden anywhere around there? But one thing different, I noticed, one thing different on it, during the millennial, during this rain, for the Jews, it will still be rain. Remember in the Garden of Eden how God watered the earth? It came from up underneath. And that's why Noah really, you know, blew their mind. It's going to rain, and it had never rained. The guy's crazy, building that boat for 120 years. Good gracious, he should have been on vacation. Got his retirement. Ezekiel 34:26. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in heaven in season. There will be showers of blessings. Brother Randy, ought to be a song on it. Ezekiel 36:29-30. Now here's what you remember though. And here's what goes wrong, happens to us. When, if we don't pay attention to the time periods from verse to verse or sentence to sentence even, okay? Because so often we will hear a lot of this quoted concerning the Christian. You know, this is the way it's going to be for you. And here's the point. No, it's not. You're not here. You have already received your heavenly reward. You're in your glorified body. You are in the presence of Christ here, but not in the flesh. You got it? So none of this affects you at all. You're reigning with Christ. But people want to say, now this is how it's going to be for you. No, this is for the Hebrew nation. This is for the Jew. Where was I? Ezekiel 36:29-30. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace. Did not God say he'd take disgrace from his people? It will be taken. It doesn't happen until that millennial period. And the nations, because of famine, Joel 2:26. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Now, at the end of this period, this kingdom age, the millennial period, at the end of that is when the new heaven and the new earth comes down. What happened though? With all of these people, with all of these blessings. They built an army. Satan's still chained. Satan's not enticing them. What is? The human nature. The human nature. You can't blame everything on the devil. We choose to do so many bad things. The freedom to choose. When you chose Jesus at that time, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can break that seal. They ain't going to mess with God in trying to take one of his children. Why would Satan bother? He's got all the others that are easy pickings. In the criminal justice system, when I was in it for so many years, it was very interesting for me to listen to the bad guys in the prisons and all talk about robbing houses and all. I'm not going to that house. They got a light on the front porch. Why would I take a chance of somebody spotting me? I'm going to the house that doesn't have the light on. And I ain't about to go in the house, chaplain. If I hear a dog barking, I hate dogs. And I would hear story after story on that, so what was the thing to do? Chaplain, get a dog, turn the lights on. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area. You come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed week.